Thanks so much, Don Bryant Jr. and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Hope you're doing well. We're glad to have you with us today in our first service right here at the First Colony Church of Christ. Merry Christmas, and my wife Martha and I just wish for you all of God's best during this holiday season. And if you're around over the holidays, we look forward to having you with us for our Christmas Eve candle lighting service. It'll be at 5 p.m. And anyway, just wish for you all of God's best. One of God's good gifts to us is you, and we sure love and appreciate our church family, appreciate your faithful service to Jesus, and it's an honor to serve with you. Last Sunday, you participated beautifully in the Care and Share food and toy drive, and I think we've got a couple of photos to put up on the screen of a lot of the goodies that you brought. Sarah White, who is executive director at Second Mile Mission Center, wrote me this week, and she just said, last Sunday was an absolute blessing. Just tell the church, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Can't believe all that you did. Over 1,000 toys, over 9,000 pounds of food, several hundred dollars in gift cards, and the First Colony Church's partnership with the Second Mile Mission Center is such a blessing. Gang, thank you so much for what you did. Really appreciate that. Okay, let's talk today. Well, do me a favor. Just sort of look around for a moment, would you? I mean, what do you know about the people in this room? I mean, really, what do you know about these folks? Here's some things you can know about every single person in any group. If ever I do a preaching class or a teaching class, this is something I always go over to anybody who's in front of a group of believers. Here's something you can know about any group. You ready? Here we go. Let's put them up here on the screen. Everybody wants to be loved. Everyone wants to make a difference. Everyone is empty without Christ, although they may not sense it today. At some point, you will. There is a universal fear of death. Many people carry doubt and guilt, and many carry mishandled bitterness and anger. And I want us to talk a little bit about that this morning, can we? How are you doing with that? How are you handling the anger and the bitterness that will inevitably come your way because here's the first thing I want to underscore today. Life just hurts. It does. Life hurts. The Bible says that when you get to heaven and you see Jesus, he's going to do what? He's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. But when does that happen? Answer, when you get to heaven and you see Jesus. Until then, you will hurt all the way till you see Jesus. Simple enough? You're going to hurt all the way until you see him. Right now, life hurts. And sometimes you get bitter and you get angry. Sometimes, a lot of times, you may not even admit it. And sometimes you're angry and bitter over big stuff, big things. And sometimes it's over petty stuff, small things. Let me put some photos up. In other words, sometimes something comes into your life and it's a great white shark. You know it when you've been bitten by a great white shark. It's big, it's unmistakable, and it has taken a chunk out of you. But sometimes you're not bitten by a great white. Sometimes you're nibbled by minnows. And you can't point to some big great white that, yeah, I'll tell you what it was. It was this shark on this day at this time that came and took a chunk out of me. Rather, it wasn't one thing. And it sounds so trivial. It sounds so petty. There wasn't one. It was the accumulation of minnow bites. I read an article one time that talked about death by paper cut. You ever got a paper cut? It's a painful thing, isn't it? It's not big. We say, well, it's not a big deal. It's a paper cut. But how many of you have experienced a significant loss of blood, a significant loss of enthusiasm, spiritual life, passion for the things of God. And it wasn't a shark bite. It was a paper cut. But it was an accumulation of paper cuts. You know, little thing, small comments, small actions that came your way. And whether or not, you know, you say, well, maybe I was too sensitive or my ego was out there. You know, we like to say that our feelings are on the inside. They're not. They're on the outside. And we've got antenna out there, and we all get bumped and bruised. And sure, sometimes maybe it's my own ego or whatever, but it happens. And over time, sometimes even those small wounds can build up, and we experience death by paper cuts. And the only solution is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And that means it is absolutely imperative that you become a world-class master forgiver. Otherwise, your effectiveness for Jesus will be short-circuited. And if you are a leader, it's even more imperative, because if you suffer, the whole thing goes south. It just does. Now, let's put a Bible statement up here, and we'll kind of build this message around it. From Colossians chapter 3, bear with each other. That means put up with each other in ways that you think are just extreme. You know, I shouldn't have to put up with that. He said, just bear with each other. And forgive each other if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We'll talk about that a little later, because that's a painful deal. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And we all know that when you're called upon to forgive another person, sometimes it has to be done repeatedly. In other words, Don may forgive me today, but at some point down the line, that emotion is going to feel fresh again. If I sit on a tack, it hurts. And I get up, and I take that tack out, and very quickly the pain will subside. But emotionally, sometimes the pain doesn't subside. And we all know that when you forgive, it's not just, okay, I forgive you, and we move on. Yes, we move on, but sometimes I have to keep forgiving, because it just feels fresh. It just does. If you do not forgive, if you do not become a world-class forgiver, a world-class master forgiver, then things will unravel in your life in ways for which you don't even really have language to describe. In other words, you'll say, you know, I'm just tired, or I just don't have any passion, or, you know, my heart used to really beat for people. I used to get really jazzed about it. I'm just don't have any passion anymore. I don't have any energy. And what's happened is you've been wounded so much, maybe just a ton of little paper cuts, you know, little comments and, you know, backhanded compliments even. You ever gotten a backhanded compliment? You know, I don't know why so many people are down on you. I think you're a nice person. And a ton of that stuff's come your way over time. And if you don't become a world-class forbearer, a world-class forgiver, your life just unravels in ways you can't even really put your finger on. And you said to yourself, oh, what they said, what they did, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't such a big deal. I need to be a bigger boy. I need to be a bigger girl. But enough minnows have nibbled at you. It's the equivalent of a great white bite. What does bitterness look like? I mean, you know, if I don't become a world-class forgiver and I choose to be bitter, what's that going to look like? Let me put some statements up here on the screen. When we do not forgive, one of the things we do is we hold back. I'll say, I may not say it, I'm just going to hold back. I'll say, you're not going to get my best, all right? You're not going to get my best. You could get my best, but you're not. I'm going to subtly hold back. I'll hold back my creativity. I'll hold back on my courage. I'll hold back on being vulnerable. I'll hold back on giving you my best. You know, you did that. You rubbed me wrong. And so don't think you're going to get my best. I could give you my best, but I'm holding back. Or, secondly, when we do not forgive, we start to create little artificial lists. Artificial lists and labels and categories of people who are either for us or against us, either on my team or not on my team. And that just doesn't honor anybody. You know, people don't like to be bitter alone. They like to, I need to get my team. And thirdly, when we do not forgive, we just find ways to get revenge. You know, you could hold back, or you find ways to get revenge in culturally acceptable ways. We may do it indirectly. We may do it through sarcasm. Well, you know what he's like. We may even do it through humor. Holding back is a form of revenge. Or we'll just say little things. He said what? She said, well, you know what she's like. You ought to hear what his therapist says about him. I've heard stories. And we find ways to get revenge. Folks, if we don't become world-class, master forgivers, Jesus is not going to get your excellence. The cause of Christ is going to be short-circuited. We got to do something about this anger, or it will come out. You'll hold back. You'll seek revenge. Now, yes, we need to be forgiving people. Let me put a couple of cautionary statements up here on the screen. First of all, forgiving doesn't always mean forgetting. Oh, God forgives and forgets, and we should just forgive and forget. There's no such thing as holy amnesia. You're not going to forget. I'm not. When the Bible says that God forgets, what it means is he no longer deals with me on the basis of my sin. He deals with me on the basis of Christ's sacrifice. And at the forefront of God's mind is not what I've done. At the forefront of God's mind is what Christ has done. And it may be that if you forgive me, you're never going to forget it, but you begin to deal with me not on the basis of what I said or what I did or that mistake or whatever. You're going to deal with me on the basis of what Christ has done and what Christ has paid. But there are some times that, well, forgiveness is granted instantaneously, but trust is built slowly and trust is rebuilt slowly. Let me just be very, very clear. Somebody who has a criminal record with child molestation is not going to be working in our children's ministries. And you say, oh, we should just forgive and forget. Look, sometimes things are too high risk. Domestic abuse is a reality. And sometimes a lady has experienced something and she says, oh, you know, it's been terrible, but my husband apologized today. He said it'll never happen again. I should just go right back. Not necessarily. Trust is built slowly. It's destroyed quickly. It's built and rebuilt slowly. And the Bible says that sometimes fools are just too quick to rush back into something. Secondly, forgiving doesn't mean that you don't establish some boundaries. There's a statement written to church leaders over in the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 3, it says this. It says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time, and after that, you have nothing to do with them. Let that sink in for a moment. Here's what Paul is coaching Titus to do. He says, look, there are some people that you will encounter in church work who have hearts that are so bent and sort of so warped that wherever they are, whether it's this church or another one, there's always going to be a cloud around them. And it's okay for you to say, look, I love you, I want to work with you, but I'm not going to be your punching bag, okay? I'm just not going to be your punching bag. It's okay to have some strong boundaries and say, look, I hear you, I want you to know, you are heard. But this thing, whatever it is, that's so very important to you, and you want it to be as important to me as it is, I've heard you, but I'm not in your philosophy. You've brought it up. You've had your say. Enough. I'm not going to be your perpetual punching bag. Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Hey, teacher, Jesus, tell my brother he needs to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me? Who made me the judge or the arbiter between you and your brother?" In other words, Jesus says, "Here are my boundaries. That's not my job. That's not my assignment. I know you want me to play that role in your life. I'm sorry. That's not my assignment, and no one's appointed me to do that." And yes, we need to be forgiving, gracious, forbearing people. But folks, you are a precious resource in God's eyes. And there are some things you don't have to take. You can be loving and kind. You can also come to the point where you say, "I hear you, but I'm not giving this another hour." Now, what can you do? What can you do to become a world-class master forgiver? First of all, you name the hurt, and therefore you disarm its secret control. You acknowledge that we've been hurt no matter how trivial it might seem. And secondly, you accept the hurt. You accept the fact that, okay, this is now in my lap. I can't just hand it off to somebody else. I can't pretend like it didn't happen. It did happen, and I'm either going to handle this in a way that leads to death. I'm either going to mishandle it, or I'm going to handle it well. But I can't pretend like it's not here. It's here. It's in my lap. I'm either going to handle it or mishandle it. I'll either hold back. You're not getting my best. Or I'll seek revenge. Well, you should hear what other people say about him. I'll either mishandle it or I'll handle it well. You name it, you accept it. And thirdly, you absorb it. And this is absolutely painful. It feels like death. It really does. It feels like death. But on the other side, there is new life, and you're not living in the death of chronic bitterness and cynicism. This is the Christ way of forgiving, but it is brutal. When you forgive, that means you absorb the loss and you absorb the debt. You bear it yourself like Jesus did on the cross. And all forgiveness is costly. It costs God to forgive me. It's going to cost you to release your bitterness and your anger. Refusing to make someone pay for what they've done to you is a form of suffering. It's painful. You are absorbing the debt. You are covering what they should pay. And it feels like a kind of death, but it is a death that leads to a resurrection instead of the lifelong death of bitterness and cynicism. Now, You can take revenge. You can do it. You can go ahead, take revenge. You can do that. You can sit back and go, "You're not getting my best. You're not getting much from me." You know, do the old passive-aggressive thing. But that is not the way of Christ. And those pathways do not lead to new life. Let me say it as clearly as I know. Forgiveness is a skill. It is a discipline that does not come easily or naturally. But for you to survive and for you to be effective for Jesus over the long haul. And you know what, folks? I hope you're a part of this church for years and years and years, which means we're going to rub each other the wrong way. And we'll either give in to little subtle ways of taking revenge, or we'll give in to, "Well, I'm holding back. You're not getting the best from me." Or we will be world-class master forgivers, so that the cause of Christ gets our best energy. Can I ask you a pointed question today? Who do you need to forgive? Maybe there is someone specific in mind who is your Frankenstein. They're your monster. They are. You can name them. Maybe you try to name it and you really can't. It's just this big blob. Just this big, unnameable, amorphous blob. You know, it's not the great white, it's just all the minnows conglomerate together, all the paper cuts congeal and it's just a big blob. I don't know. You may be bleeding to death from those mental bites. So what does all this have to do with Christmas? The coming of Jesus says to us loudly and clearly, healing begins now. Healing begins right here and right now. Alienation stops with the way of Christ. Reconciliation begins with Christ. Peace begins with Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He has called you to live in peace. Remember the message of the angels when Christ was born? Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Because of Jesus, you can be at peace with God. By the way, are you at peace with God? I hope so. Christ makes it possible. You're going to stand before God. You're going to answer to Him. You need to be at peace with Him, and you need to take those steps like today. And Jesus Christ makes it possible. He is the bridge back to where we belong. And then you can also begin to be at peace with one another. The Lord says, "Now I've shown you grace. I want you to show grace to each other." And if you want God's blessing on your life, you be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. And anytime you attempt to restore a relationship, anytime you try to bring healing to a relationship that has been strained, you're doing what God would do, and God's blessing is upon you. Folks, that's the spirit of Christmas. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So again, look around the room. You can just know about every group, there's a universal fear of death. You can know about every group, everybody wants to be loved and everybody wants to make a difference. In any group, there's a lot of folks dealing with guilt and doubt. And in every group, there's a ton of mishandled anger and bitterness. I hope that today you will take a step, not towards mishandling it through revenge and holding back, but that you will even do the brutally painful step of absorbing the loss, paying the debt, which leads into a new kind of life, not the life of cynicism and despair, but it leads to newness of life. Okay? Why don't you take a moment, please, and open up your order of worship, and please look at your communication card. And we're going to ask you to fill out that communication card completely. There's space there for you to write down any prayer requests that you would like our church leaders to pray over this week, but there's also room here for you to indicate a desire to speak with someone here about your relationship with the Lord. We'd love to talk with you about baptism. We'd love to talk with you about connecting with the Lord. This time of the year, it's just a reminder that God is for us, that God is with us, that God's great message is not, "I'm bigger than you and I want to intimidate you." God's great message is, "I'm willing to meet you. I'm willing to come to you on your terms, pay your debt, absorb the loss at great personal cost to me." His great message is not, "I'm bigger and I want to intimidate you." His great message is, "I care about you. I love you. I want to redeem you. I want you back home." The Lord loves you and cares about you. And very seldom does somebody make their way to Jesus on their own. You need to talk to somebody. You need to sit down with the Bible. You need to have somebody teach you about what it means to come to the Lord. We'd love to. We've got folks here that are willing to do that, and this is an easy way to communicate it. Just write down your name, phone number, email address, and that you would like to receive some information about baptism or connecting with our church. We'll be happy to get in touch with you. Okay. Take your time, fill this out, and when you finish doing so, just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect those in just a moment. Okay? Now, if you would please bow, let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing our concluding song. Father God, we thank you that you love us, and that you loved us even when we didn't recognize it or know it. We thank you that you're for us and that you did not send Jesus into this world to condemn us, but to save us. And Lord, I ask you to use us for your purposes. Things have come our way and bruised us when it was not our fault. We've been nibbled at and paper cut, and sometimes we've handled it well and sometimes we haven't. Lord, I pray that you will help us to handle those things in the way of Christ, to know that we are a precious resource to you and that you want us to grow through that and that you will help us and you will help us to make those choices that lead to new life and new possibilities. Lord, would you help us all to be peacemakers and to help others find peace with you and with one another. In your name do we pray. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.